You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Henat Baba. Under her drag queen alter ego, Phonique, performing artist Monique Jenkinson has connected art and entertainment for over a decade as a fixture on the San Francisco experimental performance scene. Phonique's latest production, Girl, is a collaboration with her longtime partner, electronic music composer Mark Kate. Inspired by horror film concepts, Girl combines elements of theater, dance, music, and drag to speak to the feminine in everyone and ask the question, who's the girl in you? Phonique and Mark came to KLW to talk about their new show and explain why it took so long for them to finally collaborate.
Monique and I met in the mid-80s at basically summer theater camp at Northwestern University when we were both in high school.
There was a personal spark when we met each other, for sure. We had, I think, an instant rapport, but it was we had a kind of across the crowded room love connection over a play. We saw a play together. So this play was called Road, and it was this English play.
The play was, I mean, it was very, very heartbreaking. And so, you know, the end of it, everybody just sort of got up and walked out of the theater, and I was weeping. And I was just like, oh, am I the only one that was this affected by this work? And I saw Monique across the crowded room, and she had the exact same expression on her face. And that kind of said a lot.
At the end of the play, we both had the same response to this play and ended up talking about the play for like hours and hours and hours and hours afterwards. And I feel like that's kind of when we fell in love.
I will say, though, in a maybe sort of more mundane, very high school way, we totally bonded over music. Like, we liked the same bands, and that goes a long way when you're in your teens, you know?
His hair looked like the hair of the bass player from Bauhaus. And so, I mean, what wasn't to love, you know? And he had a Smiths t-shirt and a Frankie Goes to Hollywood t-shirt. I mean, at first, you know, your Frankie Goes to Hollywood t-shirt actually sent me the signal that you might be my new gay bestie. But, yeah.
And I still might be.
This is true.
It was summer theater camp. These codes are, you know, they are what they are.
Exactly.
That tends to be the magnet, or tended, especially at that time, to be the magnet for all the queer kids, whether they knew it or not, were out or not, to congregate. And so we both, at our respective high schools, were surrounded by queer kids. We both grew up through our adolescence and into adulthood in queer communities.
I would go so far as to say, you know, we kind of both grew up and continue to identify as culturally queer, that the queer culture has been our home in so many ways. And for me, yes, it definitely then just grew into my culture. I mean, from dance and then into drag and into the drag clubs, where my primary cultural location is the queer club, for sure. I grew up training in classical ballet, and one of the moments in classical ballet where classical ballet and drag came together, I put on fake eyelashes for the first time. And I remember looking at myself thinking, this is what my face is supposed to look like. Like, I want to look like this all the time. When I started getting interested in drag aesthetics and all of that stuff, it really just opened my mind as to, you know, what was possible. I think the first drag queen I fell in love with really was Boy George. I mean, back to sort of the music of the 80s. But for me, coming from dance into drag, and it was actually, you know, I'd kind of, as many of us do, I'd left classical ballet and gone into contemporary dance and then was really immersed in contemporary dance when I moved here, and then was kind of craving the spectacle and the showiness and the sequins and the drag of ballet. It was going back into drag that brought me back into ballet. It was going into drag, rather. So when I started performing in drag clubs, I realized, oh, ballet is this tool that I have. I can be a drag queen and be a ballerina, and no one cares if I'm good. No one cares if my thighs are too big. No one cares, you know, and so it's like you being a drag queen actually gives you all this power to kind of embody anything you want.
We definitely bonded in the first place over this one piece of performance. And despite that, we've never truly collaborated. We have Monique being a dancer and performer, my being a musician. It's an obvious fit. And so we've worked together on things, but only with her as the boss or me as the boss, so that decisions fall to one of us. I think that we realized very early on in our relationship that if we would try to truly collaborate, it would just be very hard on our relationship. Relationships are hard enough as it is without inserting the temperamental nature that collaborating on artwork can create. But all these years later, we had this opportunity to go and do a residency together in Zurich to collaborate on something. And at first we thought, no, we don't do that. And the producer of that space who was inviting us said, are you sure? We're talking, you know, we want to bring you to Zurich. And so we had a further discussion and said, well, we've been together almost 3 decades. We can probably manage not breaking up over making art in Zurich. It did come full circle where we bonded over this performance and now we're working on a performance together. And it's been great. It's been 99% easy and fun and 1%, you know, super tough. All those difficulties of negotiating decisions in a relationship are right there in the studio. We sat down in Zurich to work on this piece and Monique sort of broached the most obvious subject. So, okay, Mark, why? Why is this so central to you? And we had this long conversation about how, you know, about my relationship with nightmares and the way I filter things through these extremes, and the way I tend to look at violence and things like that. And I think really what happened was Monique coming to her current work through a feminist lens and my being focused on horror, there's a place where those obviously intersect. All of these, let's just say slasher films, they all have female protagonists, all of them. And they pretty much all have a female protagonist who survives. And it's kind of the only genre that does that. It's hard to think of other, even still, Hollywood movies don't have female protagonists, but all horror movies do, virtually. But they're subject to violence. So what's that about? Why are we doing this? And what are we, when teenage boys go and see these horror films, what's happening in the process of them identifying with these young surviving women? That was kind of the genesis of this piece, of thinking about violence and feminism.
As a choreographer, and it's been fun with this piece moving into my different modes of working, which are as a drag performer, as a performer, as a writer, and as a choreographer. And choreographically, yes, we started with really specific movement explorations that were based on films and then started to abstract those, which is something that I think good choreography does, or good art does, right? It takes something, changes it again.
We first started just playing with images and ideas. We'd sort of watch a bit of a horror film and see, go, okay, what's interesting here and how can we reduce it to its purest elements and replicate that in the studio, and then go, okay, forget the film. What do we have now? What are we representing? What does this feel like? What can this do to an audience? What is it doing to us?
And then you start to layer elements onto it, like light, like sound, and then it becomes its own experience. So it's always working on these different levels. So what you're doing personally, what's happening politically, is always present in the work that you're making.